This is Gamerverse, all things gaming, geeky, and good. Welcome to Gamerverse. I'm your host, Erica, and in this episode, I'm going to let you know why one of the most beloved robotic baddies in Doctor Who has a plunger for an arm. You might have heard our opening sequence. That was one of the very first Doctor Who theme songs, which is appropriate because the Daleks were the first introduced bad guy in Doctor Who. So the Daleks were introduced in the second story arc of Doctor Who in 1963 and were pretty much instantly cemented with the British audience. The very first Doctor, who is William Hartnell, and his granddaughter Susan and their two school teachers are transported on the TARDIS, which is time and relative dimensions in space, or the large blue flying police box, are transported to a planet called Scarrow, the home planet of the Daleks. So Daleks are this malicious mutant creature encased in an armor, kind of traveling machine. They're the result of an explosion on the planet that caused some massive radiation, at least in the first appearance. Later, they'll be adding some extra story arc with a character called Davros, but we'll get into him in a little bit. In the first appearance of the Daleks in the plot, the Daleks reveal that they were once called the Dolls and were humanoids who got mutated during this neutronic war between them in the Falls. Technically, the Daleks all die at the end of this story arc because their power supply is cut off, but that, of course, is retconned pretty quick.
We will grow stronger!
The Daleks were originally an idea of Terry Nation. Now, Terry Nation was kind of like the ideas man, but the Daleks' look and creation really comes down to being the brainchild for Raymond Cusick, who was the designer for the show. For example, a lot of Terry's scripts would say things like, they walked down a white featureless hallway or entered a white featureless room. Raymond would kind of question why everything was white and featureless, and he would basically say, I just didn't know how to describe it. So a lot of it came down to Raymond, who would then add all those features and details. When presented with the original outline for the Dalek characters, Raymond drew a rough design that looked like a more cylindrical Dalek than we know, but was extremely close to the final design. The Daleks were supposed to have some kind of claw, too. He realized that the actors would be in these costumes for a long period, so created the base larger so that the actors could sit. The whole thing was then wheeled around on three large casters. Richard Martin, the director of Doctor Who at the time, wanted like an army of Daleks for this episode, and he was really hoping for about 20, but the budget allowed for about 4. They were given £250, which doesn't sound like quite a lot, but actually was a pretty big budget at the time, for at least for a character design in 1963. The characters are made out of plastic and plywood. So where did the toilet plungers come from? Or lavatory cleavers, as the director likes to call them. They weren't supposed to be plungers, but they pretty much ran out of money and couldn't afford anything else. They genuinely wanted something that could move, but cost kind of prohibited that. They got pretty clever, and they added a magnet to the end of the plunger so at least the Daleks could carry metal trays or pass things from one to the other, but it's why they look so clumsy when they try to actually line up their plunger with, let's say, the circular holes on the walls that are supposed to open their doors. The Dalek's costume is in two pieces. The upper torso comes off from the wheeled base. They use theater gauze so that the actors could see out, but the cameras couldn't see in. The telescopic eye on the top of the Daleks is actually made out of old camera lenses that were found in a box the design shop that they were being built in. They ran into a problem due to the fact that the first few seasons were in black and white. So how do you tell which Dalek is talking? Raymond Cusick decided that they would have two lights on the top of their head that the actors inside the suits would turn on and off in time with the voice actors. So the actors inside the costumes had to pair their movements, light flashing and hand movements, and make it all coordinated with the voice actors. This is one of the reasons that actors, not just extras, were the people who were manning the Daleks. The voice, funny enough, for the Daleks came from Brian Hodgson, who at the time was working for BBC Radiophonic Workshop. He was actually creating a robot voice for a butler character for a kids program. And so it used a ring module that they ended up modifying to kind of take out some of the high and low ends to just get that voice that we recognize now. So this was all appropriated to create the now iconic voice of the Daleks. Richard Martin really thought about what this voice should sound like and wanted to make sure that the voices were clear enough and could convey anger and frenzy. And the now famous
exterminate.
The two voice actors purposely created two registers where one would talk higher and one would talk lower. So kids pretty much loved and feared the Daleks when they came out. There is a lot of funny stories about people hiding behind couches but still peeking out because they didn't want to miss the episode. This is pretty much where the British audience completely fell in love with them. In many ways, the Daleks are partly responsible for why Doctor Who got greenlit to continue in 1964 and pretty much is running to this day. Of course, there's the hiatus blip in the middle, but you know what? We're all just so lucky that such a beloved show was brought back. So full disclosure, I would say my Doctors are number 4 and 10. So if we agree, it's great to find a kindred spirit. And if not, well, we can still be friends. I would highly recommend watching the Tom Baker Genesis of the Daleks, which is pretty much 80% of the same story arc and scenes from the Hartnells, Doctor Who, and the Daleks. But Tom Baker's episode introduces the Dalek megalomaniac Davros, who is the scientist with the dolls before the Neutronic Wars. And it's Davros's character that kind of introduces the Dalek superiority, and this sort of becomes their mission from here on out. I'm not just saying this because I'm a Tom Baker fan, it's because he honestly makes this version of the episode much more interesting. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gamerverse podcast, all about the creation of the Daleks. You can follow us on Twitter at GamerverseCast, and you can follow me personally, Erica, at Frenemy Games, and get an insider's glimpse into my tabletop game designing adventures. Please leave us a review on iTunes and show us a little love, and maybe help other fantastic geeks like yourself find us. If you're interested in helping the podcast to keep going, please support our Patreon at patreon.com/GamerversePodcast. If you've got any episode ideas or inspirations, you can email us at thegamerversepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, gamers, this is Gamerverse, all things gaming, geeky, and good.